In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Welcome to St. Phil Road Presbyterian Church, where we continue to gather online to worship. It's great to have you joining with us as we worship God together apart, but look forward from next week to returning in some form together again. But as we begin our worship, let's pray. Our Father, we give you thanks for the hope that we have in Jesus, who died but is risen and rules over all. We praise you for his presence with us, even in our homes, because he lives, we live for eternal life, knowing that nothing past, present, or yet to come can separate us from your great love made known in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, bring new life where we are worn and tired. Bring new love where we have turned hard-hearted. Bring forgiveness where we feel hurt and where we have hurt others. Bring us the joy and freedom of your Holy Spirit, where we've imprisoned ourselves with wrong thoughts and attitudes. God of glory, speak to us through your word so that our hearts burn. Point us to the living word, Jesus. Fill your church with the power that flows from Christ's resurrection, so that in the midst of this sinful and broken world, we may signal the beginning of a new humanity, risen to new life with Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. From the 13th of September, we're going to try returning to the church buildings to worship together, alongside the pre-recorded online worship services. Please do be praying for that. Beginning with a trial with session and committee on the 13th, and then into five districts at a time. Pray for planning, pray for safety, pray for a real sense of worship as people come back together. For this term, we'll try this fortnightly pattern and see how it goes. Every other week, life groups will meet, and that week we'll have a prayer video out on a Wednesday too. And you can watch it on a Wednesday night if that's your good habit, or another time of the week and pray. And just as we've had over the past months, that could be a Bible thought leading us into prayer from someone in the congregation, or maybe an interview like the ones we've had recently, or maybe something else to help us pray where we are. Then every alternate week, and you'll also see that's when Red is planned on a Sunday night, we'll not have a prayer video, but a prayer gathering in the middle of the week. Now that may be a gathering on Zoom or a gathering in person in the buildings. That will vary a bit depending on the situation, and that'll involve certain distancing and face coverings if we meet, but I'll be clear about that, and it won't start for a couple of weeks yet. And you know, these aren't the only new things for this term and year. I'm delighted to say that following on from the success of having five youth interns last year, we've got five for this coming year as well. First, I should say a big thanks again to Sarah and Anna and Melissa and Daniel and Chloe. We've missed being together to do this, but again, a big thank you to these guys who contributed so much during the last year. Now, Melissa and Daniel are coming back for a second year, and they're going to be joined by Reuben McKnight, Zara Tawney, and Jack Knox. Pictures tell a thousand words, don't they? But these are great young people willing to serve and learn and grow this year, and we look forward to hearing from them in the coming weeks. In addition, it's also a delight to have Dave Timothy on a placement with us. Dave's in his final year studying applied theology at Moorlands College in England, but he's doing it based here in these strange times. And he's going to be on placement with us for a few hours each week, which is just terrific. He'll be up to a number of things. Again, we'll get a chat with Dave in the coming weeks, but one thing he's already involved with is leading on Alpha Online, and it's wonderful to have him there. Do pray for Dave, and do pray for Alpha Online as it begins, that God may be at work in people, drawing them to himself. Thank you.
week is taken from Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 35. The walk to Emmaus. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself appeared and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written on their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about these things that have happened in the past few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty leader in the eyes of the Lord and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who came to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of followers were at his tomb early this morning. They came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who had told them that Jesus is alive. Some of our men then ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone. This, or just as the woman said. Then Jesus said to them, 'You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe that all the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer these things to endure glory?' Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the thing concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and at the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, 'Stay the night with us, since it is getting late.' So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us along the road and explained the scriptures to us? And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and others who had gathered with them, who said, 'The Lord is really risen. He has appeared to Peter.' Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they recognized him as he was breaking the bread."
Spirit, come. the country house. The last house we're going to visit on Luke Street. It involves a journey to get there. Indeed, it leads on to a greater journey. But here in the story, we found two people walking to Emmaus, a village 7 miles outside of Jerusalem. It's later on the day that Jesus has risen from the dead, and they're talking, these two, about recent events. Jesus joins them, walking along, but they're kept from recognising him. He asks them what they're talking about, and walking along, they come to a stop. What? Are you only a visitor, and you don't know what's been going on? It's a bit like saying, well, it's this pandemic thing you're talking about. Anyway, as they talk about these big events that have happened and what they make of them, it seems similar to the words we had last week. They're disconcerted. The one they'd put their hope in had been crucified. They find things mysterious. Their friends say the body has gone from the tomb and angels are saying he's alive. But once again, into the midst of all that is disconcerting and mysterious, Jesus, the revealer of the greatest truth, brings assurance. Essentially, two things happen in this following encounter with Jesus. Firstly, on the road, following a little rebuke about how foolish they are and slow to believe all the prophets have written, Jesus opens up the scriptures for them as they walk. We'll come back to and concentrate on this in a few minutes. And second, after failing to go on when they reach Emmaus, Jesus is urged by these two people, who still don't know it's him, to stay with them. And there in that country house, as they sit at the table, he breaks bread, he gives it to them, and their eyes are opened to who he is. Well, at that point, Jesus disappeared, but his work in that house was done. And you can read in the following verses how those two race back to tell the disciples who were to meet Jesus again just a little later on. There are some really powerful lessons, powerful truths that come out of the country house story that we could dwell on, but we'll have to think about more fully another time. But like, for example, how Jesus is with us on the journey of life, in our confusion, in the disconcerting and mysterious seasons, even when we don't see it and are kept from recognising his presence. Yet in those moments, he is with us. Or lessons about the significance of breaking bread. It was in this moment, with Jesus as the host, as we were talking about last week, with him sharing broken bread, that they came to a powerful, eye-opening recognition of Jesus, a real encounter with him. Much could be said again about the Lord's Supper and about that not merely as us working up some remembrance of Jesus, but as a real spiritual encounter with the living Lord who opens our eyes to the reality of who he is and what he's done. Or we could talk about the reality of the resurrection and what it means for us. What will it be like in the new creation when everything's made new? Well, here is Jesus paving the way for us in his new risen body. And we see it's a real body as he breaks bread and goes on in a few verses to eat fish. The new creation body that he has and that we will one day have through him. It's a real flesh and bones body. And yet here is Jesus, who is recognizable, and yet unrecognizable. We will be the same as we are, and yet different. Recognizably us, and yet wholly new and unrecognizably different. That sounds a bit mysterious, doesn't it? But maybe it helps us begin to think about how similar and how amazingly new and different the world which God is making new will be. Anyway, those thoughts are for another time. Right now, we are coming back to that journey on the road to the country house, when two people's hearts were strangely warmed as Jesus opened the scriptures to them. They were two people thrown, disconcerted, confused by the events of the previous days. The narrative they had, the story they had, didn't make sense. The pieces, like bits of a jumbled, vexing jigsaw, wouldn't fit. "But come on," says Jesus. "Don't be slow. You've got the lid of the jigsaw in which all the pieces fit together. Don't tell me you've lost it. Let me unearth it and show it to you. Let me show you the big picture." So Jesus, beginning with Moses and the prophets, explained the big picture to them. He opened up the scriptures, we're told, something he did again for the disciples in verse 44. He helped them begin to put jumbled and confused pieces of the news and the world around them and of faith into some sort of greater and assured and heartwarming framework. A picture that comes from the whole story of Scripture and that centers on Jesus. When Jesus talks about Moses and the prophets, and then verse 44 about that, the law of Moses and the Psalms and the prophets again, it seems to be a kind of shorthand way of talking about the whole of the Old Testament as we know it. The books of Moses, the law, is what we know as the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Sometimes we call it the Pentateuch. The prophets, well, that includes all of the prophets and the history books of the Old Testament, because the people of God then rightly understood history prophetically to teach us about living now. And then the Psalms and other books like Song of Songs and Ecclesiastes and some of that wisdom literature, they were gathered into a third set called the Writings. The Old Testament was effectively three box sets. And we'll come back to that idea of box sets in the Bible in later weeks. But the point is, Jesus wanted them and wants us to understand how all of it centers on him. Well, thinking about this big picture, an overview of the Bible that centers on Jesus, is what I want us to engage in during our services in the coming weeks. We're going to follow a framework that I've mentioned before and talked about when we looked at the book of Ruth in May. Well, through the wonder of modern technology, let me replay you what I presented then by way of an introduction to what we'll be focusing on in our services in the coming weeks. Now, the Bible is, of course, lots of different books written by over 40 authors over thousands of years. But it's also one book, the story of God for us, spoken to us by his Spirit, centered on Jesus Christ. Now, I've put a couple of resources on the website that you might enjoy. One is a link to the Bible Project, a website with lots of brilliant videos and articles and posters and animations on every book of the Bible and on big Bible themes and on reading the Bible and fitting it all together. Another resource on there, which is a really helpful foundation, is Vaughan Roberts' book, God's Big Picture. He talks about the Bible as the story of a kingdom. God as king is bringing about from start to finish God's people in God's place under God's blessing and rule. And he charts eight stages or epochs of that working out through the Bible story. It begins in Genesis 1 and 2 with the pattern of the kingdom. Adam and Eve are set in God's beautiful garden, living in relationship with him, with each other, and with creation. But in Genesis 3 to 11, we see the perished kingdom, where Adam and Eve and ultimately the whole world turns against God and his ways and are banished from the garden and live in a cursed and divided and confused and scattered world. But in Genesis 12 comes the promised kingdom, in which God says to Abraham that through him and his offspring, he's going to bring about blessing to this cursed world, his people in his place under his rule. And the rest of the Bible story is really the working out of those promises made to Abraham. So in Genesis 12 to really 2 Chronicles, we see the partial kingdom. The promises to Abraham are partially worked out in Abraham's descendants. God's people end up living under a king chosen by God, and they know some blessing in the promised land. But the promises are not fulfilled in Israel here. And turning from God again and again, the people end up in exile. Through Ezra to Malachi, all the prophets, we hear of the prophesied kingdom. Even in exile, the story is not over. We're told that what has been promised, what's been partially but imperfectly pictured, will be properly fulfilled. So in Matthew to John, the Gospels, comes the present kingdom. In Jesus, God's kingdom is made present. God's true person, who lives perfectly and brings God's promised blessing through his life and death and resurrection, comes to establish the kingdom in all the earth. And through Acts and the letters, we see the proclaimed kingdom. As the apostles in that story of Acts and in the letters that they write, proclaim the kingdom of the risen King Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. And we, as the following church, as disciples of Jesus, do the same. But at the end of Revelation comes the perfected kingdom. In the future, with God at the centre on the throne, the story ends with an ongoing end, the new heavens and the new earth. God's people, truly in God's place forever, under God's blessing and rule. So here's a simple framework in which to see how God is working his story of his kingdom out, and how the Bible at every point is teaching us in rich and varied detail about the King and his kingdom and our place in it. Well, who knows exactly what Jesus said as he opened the scriptures on that road? It must have been the most amazing Bible study. Following this big picture of the kingdom is perhaps only one of many ways to think about the story of the Bible. But it is so important and good for us that we do get an increasingly better grasp of the big picture. Because we are so formed and shaped by so many other frameworks or narratives, stories, news cycles going on out there. And so much that is fake news that doesn't make sense of the pieces of the world or of faith. How well do we understand? How well are we shaped by? How much do our hearts burn because of this story? The great overarching story in which everything, all people, the past, the present, and the future, and all of the universe finds its true place. I trust these coming weeks will be a blessing and encouragement for us all as we travel together through this Bible overview. Just as those two disciples walked along the road and began to see the bigger picture, may that be the case for us. And of course, their journey, having encountered Jesus at the end of Luke Street, didn't actually end there at the country house, but continued in encounter and understanding and excitement and faith. For all of us, the journey of life continues beyond Luke Street, with its disconcerting and mysterious moments and matters. But may we learn and trust and be assured more and more as to how God fits and brings things together in his great plan, how he has done, how he is doing, and he will do all this. And how we and everything finds fulfillment and a true place in and through Jesus Christ.
Let us come together in prayer. Let us pray. Great is your faithfulness, O God, my Father. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Lord, we thank you that we can face each new day together, and that today and every day, you will provide everything we need. Father, we bring to you this morning anyone known to us who may be suffering financial, physical, or mental hardship at this time. Remind us all that even if our circumstances have changed, you have not. There are no changes in your love, your comfort, and your compassion. We praise you and give you thanks for the wonderful news from Kenya. Another bouncing baby boy, James Mutana Mwangi, born to Gerald and Louise. Father, we thank you for the safe arrival of baby James, and we pray your blessing on Gerald, Louise and the boys. Give Gerald and Louise the strength, energy and patience they will need in the hectic and interesting times ahead. At the start of another new term in our academic and church calendar, we pray for everyone who will be starting out on a new journey. For children and young people settling into new classes, new schools, or preparing for college or university. For school leaders and teachers grappling with new arrangements on top of all the other things they have to think about. Give them the wisdom, the energy, and the patience to carry out their duties effectively. We pray for Ben, Johnny, and Jill as they continue to plan programs for our congregation in these uncertain times. We also bring to you our interns, Daniel, Jack, Melissa, Reuben and Zara, as they begin to work with our children and young people in the coming days. Help us as a congregation to make full use of their energy and creativity in sharing the good news of Jesus with our young people. Father, we ask your blessing on David Timothy as he begins a period of placement with us. We pray especially for the South Belfast Alpha course with which David will be involved. Let it be a real beacon of light in these unpredictable times. Finally, Father, we thank you for your word and for Ben's faithful and sympathetic teaching of it. The road to Emmaus is a road that must be walked, in one sense, by everyone who wants to become a better Christian. The walk starts out in disbelief and sadness, but it ends in joy, excitement, love, and true devotion. The same can happen to us if we seek to walk closely with Jesus. Help us all to do that in the days ahead. Amen.
Through the land, believing hearts.
Although it comes at the end of this video, the benediction is not so much the ending of a film, but ascending, as we go from this time of worship to worship God in all our living. So may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.